Okay, good morning. Okay, talk, everybody. All right, will all those testimonies get seated over there in the back, you understand? My good friends from Efrat, formerly West Hempstead. Now, some of you may have noticed, let me explain. You have a single sheet that you receive which says Hilchot Tshuva on it. Keep that on the side. We may or may not need it yet today. So don't get confused. This one, off to the side. The one that we are working with is the one that looks very much like last week's. For that matter, it is last week's. It is last week's. But we didn't finish. We started the Summit Token. And I'm going to briefly review what we did last week. We read the first part, the first paragraph of the Summit Token we read, until we came toward the end of that paragraph. V'chol boy olam ovdim yavdun lefanecho kivnei maron, where it's underlined in the Nisana Tokev. Unisana Tokev. Underlined, it says, V'chol boy olam yavdun lefanecho kivnei maron, all people who are in the world will pass before you, kivnei maron. And the end of the shir was the Gemara that defines what are kivnei maron. For the present, we will simply say sheep, lamb, shepsalach, seh. All people on the face of this earth pass before you. And you're going to judge them. Kivakorat roe edro. As a roe, a shepherd, studies his flock. Mavir tzono tachat shifto. He lets the sheep pass beneath his staff as he counts them. Kain tavor v'tisbor v'timneh. So all of mankind will pass and be counted. The Tifgod Nefesh Kolchai, you're going to remember every living being. The Tachtov Kitzvol Chobil Techo, and you are going to give a specified amount of time for all of your creatures. The Tichtov at Gezar Dinan, and you're going to write the decision, their judgment, what's going to happen to them. The bulk of last week's shir was, we studied chapter 32 in Yechezkel. Chapter 32 in Yechezkel. We're being surrounded by Kesselmen. Okay, I can't help it. There happen to be people that I like, and you know, for a rabbi to like members of his congregation, who were members of his congregation more than 30 years ago, you know, that's pretty rare. Anyway, the shir last week was on that one amazing chapter in Yechezkel, chapter 34, where God says, I am the shepherd of the Jewish people, and I am going to take care of the sheep as they should be taken care of. All right. And then we went to the last page, the Mishnah. This is where we're going to pick up again. We already had learned the Mishnah and the Gemara, but we did not elaborate or explain it. The Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Barbo prokim ba'olam nidon. The world is judged at four periods of time. The Pesach HaLatzvua, Pesach God judges the world about the grain, how much grain there will be. Ba'atzeret al-peirot ha'ilom an-shuas, it's for the fruit of the tree. Rosh Hashanah kol boy olam ovri lefonov kivinei moron. Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, and here is where the words in the Sanet Tokef come from. They come from the Mishnah. On Rosh Hashanah, all mankind passes before God, kivinei moron. Shenema, as it says, Hayotzer Yachad Libam, he created all of their hearts, Hamevin El Kol Maaseim, and he understands and knows what they do. He knows everything. And as they pass before him, he is going to judge them. Ubechav, the fourth, is an Ansukis Nidonin Alamayim. Judgment is given for how much water, how much rain there's going to be in the world. Not a Gemara. The Mishnah stated, Rosh Hashanah kol b'yolam ovrim lefonav kivnei maron. So the Gemara inquires, what is kivnei maron? So hocha targimu, here in Babylonia, they translated it as kivnei imrano. Kivnei imrano means like lambs. They pass before the great shepherd in heaven. They pass before him like lambs. The second opinion on the meaning of the words of the Mishnah, Kivnei Imrano, Resh Lakish Amar, Resh Lakish, who was a Meretz Yisrael, said, Kemalot Beit Maron. They pass by like the people who are walking on the elevated paths of the Maron area. We're talking about a mountain pass that is very, very narrow. And whoever walks that path has to walk it very, very carefully. And it's only in single file. There is no place for more than one person. The closest example that I can think of is the snake path coming down from Masada that I did in 1969. And believe me, I don't think I'll ever do it again. I'm afraid that I haven't been in Matsada since then. Bela, I have to go to Matsada again. Yeah. I haven't been to Matsada, but this time it'll be the cable car up and the cable car down. Don't give me no snake paths. It was very scary. Okay, listen, everybody has Mishigas, so that's one of mine. Okay, so anyway, Resh Lakish, and I imagine Resh Lakish, who was from Eretz Yisrael, therefore was acquainted with these treacherous, precipitous, single-file pathways in Eretz Yisrael. And one is the name Maron. Rabbi Yehuda Mashmur, Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmur says the third, Kechayalot Shel Beit David. Like the soldiers of the house of David. Now how does that fit with the term Kivnei Moron? So some say that Kivnei Moron in certain languages means numbered, a number. A soldier is identified by his number. It's not only today, but Chayalot, the soldiers of the army of David had numbers. And they are the Kivnei Moron, those sons who have numbers. That's the third opinion in the Gemara. We'll come right back to it in a moment. Omar Rabba Babachon, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Babachon said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, amazing, all mankind passes before God, v'chulam niskarim v'sekira achas, but they are all examined with one glance. The Ubeishim is able to see and know and comprehend and judge in one single instant of time. And the Gemara now supports this last statement on Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. We have also learned this in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, brings a pasuk in Tehillim, Hayotzer Yachad Libam Hamevin El Kol Maaseim, the one who creates their hearts together, who understands all their deeds. My comma, what does this verse mean? Ilei Mahachi Kama, if you say that what it means is Devarno Lekuli Alma Umiyachad Libayu Kadodah, that God created everyone and united their hearts together. That's not so. We're all different. All hearts are different. But we see that this is not so. People think very differently from each other. Very differently? You have no idea how differently people think from one another. It's unbelievable. I always think that I'm saying smart things, but not everybody seems to agree with me. It's different. It's their mistake. El Olam Hachikah. You know what the pasuk is saying? Hayotzer ro'eh yachad libam. Hayotzer yachad libam does not mean the God who created all of their hearts as one. Hayotzer, the Creator, sees all of their hearts. Hayotzer ro'eh yachad libam. Umeven akol ha'isayim. The Creator sees their hearts together in one glance and understands all their deeds. Okay. What's the difference? What's the meaning of each one of these three opinions? The first opinion is that we pass before him like sheep. Like sheep. All right, so we talked about God being the great shepherd and we being his shefsalach. But what it means, sheep go by in single file. As they come out or as they go into their corral, done in single file. That means God concentrates, we don't know how, but he's capable of everything. But he sees each one separately and individually because each and every human being is an individual. Resh Lakish, I believe, when he says that Kivnei Imrana, that God sees them as going up this precipitous path, I have a feeling that Resh Lakish wants to tell us that God is very compassionate. Going up that kind of a mountain path is extremely dangerous. One wrong move, I didn't want to think about it. One wrong move, Nebuch, can be disaster. I have a feeling that Resh Lakish is saying that when God looks at each individual, you know what he understands? He understands that his people live a life that is precipitous. There are all sorts of temptations out there. There are all sorts of ways and means to make mistakes. You can fall. Man can fall, but man can also rise. And God, in his mercy and his compassion, he sees the difficulty that man has in going through life. We live through so many different situations that we have to react to, we have to respond to. So many situations that impact and influence us. You know, that we make our way through life in one piece, it is really a great accomplishment. Resh Lakish is describing God's compassion and God's understanding. I know what you're going through. I know all the temptations. I know all the possibilities to do evil. I know everything that's going on, and all of this is thrown into the hopper. I take that into consideration as I judge you on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The third opinion in the Gemara is that God sees them as Chayalot Beit David, as soldiers in the army of David. Now, the three opinions, by the way, do not dispute one another. There's no machlokas here. Each one is zeroing in on a different aspect of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. The third opinion is saying that yes, God looks at each one individually, But what's of major significance is how does that individual, how does he fit in with all of the others? Is he alone, or does he see himself as one of the soldiers in the army of David? Is he part of a community? Is he involved with a community? Does he work with the cloud, or is he off on the side? Does unconcerned about what's going on to his people or his family or those around him? No. Chayalot, the soldiers of the house of David, they were a finely honed and extremely well-trained group. They worked together. They knew exactly what to do. And included in what to do is never ever to see anybody as an individual by himself. I have a responsibility to that soldier and that soldier. I have a responsibility to everybody. I have a responsibility to Klal Yisrael. No man is judged in the context of him being alone. So that each one of the three opinions in the Gemara is giving us a sense of how judgment takes place. First of all, God looks at everybody as an individual, you. Second, God understands man's condition. Man's existential condition is fraught with a great deal of danger. There are so many things going on out there in that world. There are so many things that the fears that we have, concerns, and all of these impact on how we feel and how we act and what we do and what we say, and God takes all that into consideration. And the third, of course, being is you're an individual, but you're not an individual. You have to use your talents and your abilities in tandem with everybody else in the community. You don't make Shabbos Fazich, you understand. You're part of a group, and you have to be able to contribute to that group. That's the totality of the judgment. So all three opinions, they don't disagree. They all give us the well-rounded picture. Now, as we said last week, she was about Shef Saluch, and judgment is Kivnei Imrha, like Shef Saluch. So I want to learn a medrash. And after the medrash, we're going to take a look at a little kapitel in Tehillim, most probably one of the most famous chapters in Tehillim. Which Jew or non-Jew in the world doesn't know of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thy leadeth me," what? Huh? "Makes me to lie down." Come on. We're going to learn that chapter in Tehillim. It's an awesome chapter. Like every chapter in Tehillim. Let's read the Medrash.
Number four.
Malka, you're doing good. I have to tell you exactly where to start over here. Let's take a look at the Vayikachayim Michlaotzam. God took him from the corrals of the sheep. Mm-hmm. We're going to see, he's going to be talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Mahu Michlaotzam, Kumo, Vayikolei Hageshem. The word "vayikole hageshem" means that the reign of the Mabul ended. Michlaot means ending, meaning the following. Hoyomoneya hagedolim mipnei hakatanim. Now, if you don't take care of the chefs, you know what's going to happen? The big sheep, the bullies, the older ones are going to get out there into the grazing land, and they're just going to eat up all of the good grass that's there. The good shepherd holds back the big ones, let the kinderlach, the kleiner, They have to be able to get the nourishment. For Yomotzi Hakitanim Lidot, he would take out the small ones, the little lambs. Moshe's little lamb. Well, Moshe had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. He took out the small ones that they should graze, Kadeshi Yinu Esef Harach, so they should be able to graze from the soft blades of grass. V'achakach Motzi Azekenim, and then he would bring out the older and the bigger ones, Kadeshi Yinu Esef HaBeinonit, they should take the soft, have been already eaten up by the little lambs. So now the bigger lambs are going to eat the next more difficult level of grass. V'achakach Motzi HaBachurim, Shiu Oflin Esef HaKosher. Then he would take out the strong, the tough, the fully grown ones, and what was left in the field then were just the tough blades of grass, and that's what they would eat. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, Mishehu Yodea Lirot Hatzon Ish Lefi Kochol. The one who knows how to graze the sheep, each one according to their ability. He is able to differentiate between the shepsalach. Let him come and be the shepherd of my people. Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen because of his unique ability, his sensitivity to the feelings of each one of his lambs. Hadohu d'ksiv, that's meant what it says, Me achar alot hevil lirot b'yakov amo. From the alot, from the shepsalach, he was brought to become the leader of, to graze, or to be the shepherd of his people Yaakov. V'af Moshe, Lo b'chono HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela b'tzon. Moshe was tested by God. His test was the sheep. Amru Davotenu, our rabbi said, to show you Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem Roe Atzono Shel Yitro Bamidbar. When Moshe Rabbeinu grazed the sheep of Yitro in the desert, Barak, the famous story, Barak Mimenu Gedi, a goat ran away. Verotz Achrov, and he ran after this goat, Ache, he gial chasid until he came to a place called Chasid. Kibun she gial chasid, nizdam nolo brecho shomayim, you know what was there? A spring of water. Bo'amad hagedin lishtot, and the goat stood there and drank. Kibun she gia Moshe etzlo, he's running after him. He finally gets to him. Amar ani lo hayiti yodea sheratz hayita mitnei tzoma. I didn't know that you ran away because you were thirsty. Oyei fata, you're exhausted. Here, kivo al ketefo. So he put his shepsalah onto his shoulder for Hoyimahalech. He carried him back. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Holy One, blessed be, he said, Yesh lecha rachamim linhov tzono shel basar adam. You have the pity, the compassion to be the shepherd of that belong to a man of flesh and blood, Yitro. Kach, in this way, chayecho atot tir'e tzoni, hevei Moshe hoyo roe. You will be the shepherd of my people. Ah, that's why the Torah tells us Moshe was a shepherd. But the Rabbeinu was not only Moshe Rabbeinu. Yaakov Avinu also was tested. Yaakov Avinu was a shepherd. It was I have a feeling that Avram Avinu was also a shepherd. Bela, one of my favorite students, doesn't have a... you're getting special. You got to... That's my friend Richard, you know.
Okay.
Now let's take a look at Mizmor LeDavid. So now he's taken care of. He took care of himself. Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echzor. The Perek in Tehillim is talking about man, called a David, or anybody who says the Kapitel Tehillim, sees himself as a Shepsala, as a lamb. You know what distinguishes a lamb? A lamb is weak, a lamb is frightened, a lamb is easily terrified. A lamb can also be very playful. A lamb can also, you know, run off. But in its very essence, a lamb is a weak, unprotected creature. And the lamb is completely dependent on the shepherd and the lamb trusts the shepherd, that the shepherd will take care of the lamb. David HaMelech says, Mizmor LeDavid. There are six psukim in this great, no more than six psukim in this great chapter. A song to David. Hashem Roi, God is my shepherd. Lo echsor, I will not lack anything. What we hear over here is an expression of such trust and such faith. God is my shepherd, lo echsor. This is a statement, I mean, this is David HaMelech saying it. And not just some, I have betachen. David says, I will lack nothing because God is my shepherd. And I have absolute faith in him that b'na'ov desha yarvitzeni, he's going to make me to lie down beside mei menuchot, tranquil waters. The shepsala can't deal with anything that is, you know, waters that are flowing or rushing, can't handle it. The shepsala needs peace and quiet. Absolute faith. Binodesha Yarbitseni in silent, where there is grass, Yarbitseni, he makes me to lie down in the meadow, and I'll name it Uchodina Haleni. He guides me beside still waters. Nafshi Shovev, but the Shepsala sometimes becomes a little rebellious and it jumps around. It scampers. Is that the word that they use about little Shepsala?
Gamble.
Ramble?
Gamble. G-A-M-B-O-L-S.
Gambles. G-A-M-B-O-L-S. Look what I learned from my students. The Shepsala gambles. Not L-E-S or E-L-S. It's not Atlantic City. We're talking about a meadow. You know, I still like scampers. So Yeshovev also has the meaning of going astray, doing something naughty. So he says, you know, sometimes I stray, sometimes I gamble, sometimes I scamper, sometimes I go in the wrong direction. But I'm certain that Yamcheni b'makle tzedek, he will lead me in the path of righteousness, leman shemo, for his name's sake. You know what has happened here in this sentence? In this sentence, the metaphor, the muscle of the the shepherd and the sheep all of a sudden begins to change. It's not really a sheep, and not really a shepherd. It's a human being and his God. In other words, in middle of the mashal itself, we are already beginning to see its real meaning. Because no shepsala is going to be put on a straight path for his name's sake. You understand? This is obviously while the first half of the Nafshi Yishovev can be talking about a sheep. By the time where Yamcheni B'magle Tzedek, he leads me in straight paths, L'mar Shemo, we have all already moved from the Moshel to the Nimshal. We're moving from the area of what the simile, the metaphor, the poetic metaphor, to the real world of man, the meeting of man and God. In Oz Yoshir, we say, Nochiso bechazdecho amzu go'olto nehalto be'ozcho el nevei kodshecho. Nochiso and nehalto, you lead. Both words appear there. Over here we have it, almei menuchot yinahaleini. Nafshi yishovev yamcheini. Again, that pasuk in the Shira Nes Yoshir is Nachisa b'chazdecha, that's from Yamcheini. Nachisa b'chazdecha amzu ga'olta nehalta b'yosla nevei kodshecha. But is it all peaceful and quiet? Does this lamb only experience tranquility? Everything is fine. The meadow is green and lush, and the still water is there. No. We're now talking about a human being, and the human being's faith and trust is a great deal more powerful than that. Gam ki eleich begei tzalmavet lo iroro. What a statement of trust and faith, nearly unparalleled. Gam ki eleich, even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid. Lo iroro, I'm not afraid of evil, because I am certain ki ato imodi, you are with me. Shiftecho mishantecho heimo yenachaloni. Your staff and your stick, they are the ones who comfort me. I tell you, I remember when Chanan Porat died, there was a big levaya in Kfar Etzion. And when he was being taken to burial, I don't know how many thousands of people were there. I think it was his request. What they sang was, I think it's Karl Barth's, Gam ki eleich begei tzalmavet. It's okay if I sing, right? Lo iroro. People singing this so softly was such an experience one doesn't forget for a lifetime. This is the great expression of trust. Gam ki eleich begei tzalmavet lo iroro, I'm not afraid ki ato imadi. There were people in history who were tested with this. In a certain sense, we find ourselves in a similar situation. There's a mad world out there. A mad world out there that wants to destroy us. Would utterly destroy us if they could. I mentioned something last week, and of all things, after I said it here, I told it privately to a number of people, and they said, hey, I never thought of that. This morning, somebody said to me after that, you know, we should be zeicher to see God's miracles. You know, there may be miracles taking place all around us and we don't even see. We're not even aware. So I told them what I told you last week. 66 years ago, after the establishment of the state, close to 1 million Jews emptied out of the Arab lands. And I remember, I was in the Ma'barot. I went through the terrible conditions under which they lived until they established themselves here. And there was a lot of crowding. How many countries with 600,000 people surrounded by enemies take in 1 million people? 1 million, it's unbelievable. It's like America now taking in 400 million people in one, at one time. America would collapse totally. And you know what? What would have happened if those Jews would be in Arab lands now? There would be an absolute massacre of 1 million Jews. By now, they most probably would have been 2 million Jews. There would have been an absolute massacre. The Rebbeinu Shlomo then knew, get them out of there. And this fellow stood there and says, Rabbi, you're right. Not too many people tell me that. He said, you're right. We don't always see. And here is a great expression of trust. Gam ki elech begei tzalmoven lo irodo ki ato. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I'm not afraid because you're with me. We don't even know the extent to which they want to destroy us. We don't know how many attempts they make every day. We don't know. But we have great trust. Shiftecho mishantecho. The mishenet is something that the shepherd leans on, and the shepselach lean on it. Shiftecho is the staff with which sometimes a shepselach needs to be, get a shtickle, a clap. That's what the shevet is for. And the shevet can also be used against those who want to devour the sheep. The shepherd gets rid of them. And now, in the last two psukim already, we're not talking about sheep, we're not talking about a shepherd, we are talking about a human being, and we are talking about a human being who's also being fed, but not water and not grass. Now this is a human being who stands up before his God. Tarok lefonai shulchan neged tzodarai. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I will be able to rejoice and celebrate despite the fact that my enemies have wanted to destroy me. Tishanto Hashem and Roshi, not only have you protected us, and you are protecting us from our enemies, but you have given us a tremendous amount of abundance. I remember when there was rationing in this country. Rationing today? What are you talking about? Well, we had, in the 55, 56, you had 2 eggs a week.
The Yemei Tzena.
The days of the Tzena, the ration. An ounce or two of meat a week. Kidding me? They. There are certain stores that I walk into, and I'm overwhelmed. Have any of you ever been in Osher Ad?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm afraid to go into Rami Levi. I see all those cars over there. I'm afraid. I don't like crowds. I'm very introverted. But I don't know. Somehow my wife schlepped me into Osher Ad one night. I was confused. When I came out, I was walking around. The piles. Do you see the piles of fruits and vegetables? God, Dishanto Hashem and Roshi. It used to be a custom to place some oil on one's head. That was a sign of abundance. We have it. We can use oil for the head. Conceited of my cup runneth over. Ach Tov, and now, with all of the faith and trust that I've had in God until now, I also look to the future with confidence. Ach tov v'chesed yedefuni kol yemei chayoi. Goodness and kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. V'shafti b'beis Hashem la'orech yomim, and I will be able to live in the house of God for long and many days. Now, the house of God does not necessarily have to mean a house. According to some of the Mefarshim, all of Eretz Yisrael is the house of God. Shafti b'beis Hashem. In a sense, it's similar to what we say in the David. Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem ota avakesh. One thing I have asked of God and that I seek. Shifti b'beit Hashem, that I should live in the house of God. And there also, it doesn't mean only Bet HaMikdash or Bet HaMedrash. Eretz Yisrael kulo is the Mikdash, is the house of God. La'orach yomim, a long time. The sum total of this chapter is absolute trust and faith in God. And that's the only thing that's kept us going all of these years, and that's going to have to keep us going through the course of the next number of years that are certainly going to be very fraught with great danger. And now, what we have accomplished, go back to the Sana Tokev. The Sana Tokev. What was on the line? I think we now understand. The whole boy Olam Yavrun Fanacha Kivnei Maron, all who are on the face of this earth will pass by you like sheep, comes from the Mishnah. And what it means also is that we have faith and confidence and trust in you. Tivakoras Roedro, you conduct yourself with us like the shepherd who carefully observes his sheep's order. You understand? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that little Shapsala was thirsty, and he felt bad. He should have known. He is so exhausted. So he carried the Shapsala back. Marit Sono Tachashifta came Tara Vitispa Vitimne Vitifko Nevzekochai. So you are going to count and weigh and measure all living beings, and you're going to decide the Tacht of Kitzvah Lachobi of Techa, the Tipto, and you're going to write Gizar Dinam. Berosh Hashone Yikosegur on Rosh Hashanah, it's written, Uyam Tzom Kippur Yechotemen, and it is signed on Yom Kippur. Kamo Yavrum, how many will pass from the earth? And how many will be created?
Me,
yeah. Me, who will live, who will be Yamut, and who will die. Me, Bittitzo, me, Lo, Bittitzo, who will die at his proper time, his intended time, and who not. Me, Bamayim, and me, Ba'esh, who will perish in water and who in fire. Me, Bachedev, who by the sword. Me, Bachayim, and who through wild animals. Me, Barov, and me, Bashama. Who will die in hunger or in thirst? Mi barash, who will die in an earthquake? Mi b'magefan, who will die in an epidemic? Mi b'chalika, mi b'skila, who will die of strangulation? Who will be stoned? Mi anuach, mi anuah, who will be at rest? Mi anuah, who will be on the move, have to move from one place to the next? Mi shaket, for whom will life be tranquil? Umi taref, and whose life is going to be a life of confusion? Mi sholev, who will experience shalvon, real tranquility? Umi yasur, and who's going to suffer? Mi yoni, who will be poor? Umi yosher, and who will become rich? Mi shafel, who will be brought down? Umi yorum, and who will be raised? It's a frightening paragraph. Everything is being decided. Our whole lives are being decided. I understand now why 70 or more years ago, when they started saying the Sana Tokev in Yeshiva Torah with us, the whole women's section started crying. And then the men. Nobody cries anymore. We have to learn how to daven again. And then, of course, here, this is going to be the focus of the next few weeks. Tshuva, utfila, utzdaka. Tshuva, repentance, prayer, and tzedaka, ma'avirin et ro'a, they remove the evil of the decree. So I want to spend some time on each one of these three. The definition of tshuva, an explanation of the meaning of tefillah, and tzedakah. So we're going to start, you have that second sheet, we'll start this week, and we're moving right ahead. Second sheet, single sheet. By the way, we're not finished with the Sanatokiv yet. We still have another part of the Sanatokiv to finish. The Rambam. Everything begins with the Rambam. Any understanding or explanation or elaboration on Shuva begins with the Rambam. And the Rambam, there it is, number one. The Rambam wrote a section of Hilchot Tshuva, one of the first ever to do it. There are 10 chapters in Hilchot Tshuva of the Rambam, and there are those who want to say that he wrote it in 10 chapters, so a chapter should be learned every day, a different chapter every day of the 10 days of repentance. And the Rambam, as he does at the beginning of every section, he begins with a description of what he's going to talk about. Mitzvat asei achat, one positive commandment for who? Sheyoshuv hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yitvado, that a man should repent, the sinner should repent from his sin before God v'yitvada, and he should confess. There has been so much said about these six words, and you'll see right away what the issue is here. Ubir mitzvah zuli. Clarification of this mitzvah, and fundamental articles of the faith that are related to this mitzvah. For example, the most fundamental of all, upon which all of tshuva is based, is the fact that man, we believe with perfect faith that man has free will. He doesn't have free will. If he's determined in any way, forget about it. Forget about Torah, forget about Jew, forget about everything. Essential to an understanding of all of Yadot, man is absolutely free to do what he chooses to do. And therefore there's a mitzvah of tshuva. So all of these other fundamental articles of the faith are going to be explained in these 10 chapters. Perek Rishon, first chapter, Halacha Aleph. We're not going to learn the whole halach. Kol ha-mitzvah shel ha-Torah, all commandments in Torah, bein asei, bein lo asei, whether it's a positive commandment or a negative commandment. Im avar adam halach ha-man, if a person transgressed any one of them, bein besadom, bein b'shpokah, regardless of whether he did it intentionally or he did it unintentionally, k'sheya'aseh tshuva, when he does tshuva, v'yashuv b'cheto, when he will return from his sin, chayav lehizvados, he is obligated to confess, Lifnei Hokel Baruch Hu, before God, blessed is he. Shenema, as it says, by a one who brings a sacrifice, Isho Isho Kiyasu Vikol Chato to Adam, man or woman who will do any sin, Vidvadu et Chatatam Asher Asu, they should confess. I have to say, Chotasi, Rebeshim Chotasi, I said, Zev Vidvadu. The Rambam says, Zev vidui dvaram, that is verbal vidui, verbal confession. Vidui zev mitzvah saseh. This vidui is a positive commandment. Now, here is where things are becoming a little sticky. The issue is the following. There is a machlokas amongst achronim, according to the Rambam, is there a mitzvah of tshuva? Tshuva is the process, the inner struggle that goes on in the human being until he decides, God, I'm sorry, I regret what I did, I'm going to be good in the future, and I'm doing tshuva. Is there a mitzvah to do that? Or does the mitzvah only begin after that agonizing and painful internal process has taken place? And then man stands in the fullness of his humanity before God, and he says, Chatasi, the vidui. Is vidui dvarin the mitzvah, or is tshuva also a mitzvah? Any simple reading of the words of the Rambam here seem to be quite clear. Vidui said, this vidui is the mitzvah, which would seem to be that tshuva is not a mitzvah. Now that may be strange to you. Rav Soloveitchik, I think in one of his first tshuva shiurim, says, what are you talking about? Of course, tshuva, not a mitzvah. I'm not going to go into Rav Soloveitchik because I have my little humble me, I have my own little approach on that vidui is, tshuva is not a mitzvah. Maybe I'll give equal time to Rav Soloveitchik next week, I'm not sure. Don't be wrong, this is with the greatest of respect, but you know, in Torah, everybody's right. And there are great people, we'll see, Rav Kook, the Rav Meir Simcha, the Meshe Chachma, others. I think the Rav says that his uncle held that tshuva is not a mitzvah, the mitzvah is only the confession. Vidui zeh, this vidui, reading back of Rav Mitzvah Kasei, that's a positive commitment. Ketzad mitvade, how does a person confess? Omer, he says, on Hashem, please, chatosi avisi poshati, I sinned, I erred, I rebelled, lufanecha, before you, vasiti kach v'kach, I did such and such, v'arei nichamti v'voshti v'masa, I regret, and I'm ashamed of what I did. I am ashamed. La'olam eini yichol zeh ledova zeh, I'm never going to do it again. Here you have all of the elements of tshuva. Regret for what one did in the past, one accepting upon himself the resolution never to do it in the future, and saying vidui, zei karoshul vidui, v'chol mahamadol estado sumam opinion zeh. Anybody who says many times the vidui, hareze v'shubach, is praiseworthy. Well, you know, I hesitated there for a moment because all of a sudden it sounded like I was saying the Haggadah, the Chol Hamarbe L'Saper V'Yitzia Mitzrayim Areze Meshuvach. Chol Hamarbe L'Saper V'Yitzia Mitzrayim Areze Meshuvach. I have another week to figure out, is there any kind of relationship between the two? And if there isn't, I'll make one. I'll find one. But he borrows the terminology. But this is also a Mishnah, the terminology by Sipu Yitzhak Mitzrayim of a Chol Hamarbe L'Saper Yitzhak Mitzrayim comes in the Mishnah. All right, so the Rambam says, in fact, we don't even know what the Rambam says. There are the two opinions. Is tshuva, the process of tshuva, a mitzvah? God says, do it. Or is the process of tshuva not a mitzvah? The mitzvah is, if you have gone through this process and you are duly full of regret and you want to rebuild your relationship with God, then say the vidui and confess. That's something. I know. I'll tell you that next week. It's okay. Anyway, so I'm going to tell you really briefly what will take me another hour to explain, but I'm going to say it straight. I believe that tshuva is not a mitzvah. Tshuva is not a mitzvah. What do you think? You went ahead and you defied God? You don't have to do tshuva. I mean, somebody has to tell you have to do tshuva. You acted with terrible chutzpah toward your a parent, a father, a mother. Somebody has to tell you, you know, you should go say you're sorry. But of course, everybody understands that. But
your confession leads you to tshuva.
So the confession is the mitzvah. That's how I'm saying.
But it leads you to go further and to try to reach
out. It leads you to go further?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the question is whether the internal painful struggle and process that one goes through until one is ready to say, Vidui, is there a mitzvah to do that? So I want to say that you don't have to tell anybody to do that. And Ochen Vey, if you have to tell somebody that, listen, you rejected God's word, you rebelled against it, what do you think? You're going to get away with it. Of course you have to do tshuva. I can't. You're going to have to. The rest is going to have to come next week. There's no choice. No, just coming attractions, it will take us into something else. I also, on the other hand, I'm ready to agree with those who hold, according to the Rambam, that there is no clear mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. How do you like that? There's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. God has to tell you that. You don't. You open up a chumash, you don't see that it's God's will that Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody has to hit you on the head and tell you there's a mitzvah. Not everything has to be a mitzvah. Not everything has to be listed. The 613 mitzvahs do not encompass all of Torah. There are many mitzvahs that don't appear in the list of the 613. And we'll have to explain that here. There's no mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. There's no mitzvah of Nichum Avel listed in the list of mitzvahs. I'm not saying it is not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. We remember Yitziat Mitzrayim every day, in the morning and the evening. The Rambam nowhere says it's a mitzvah to do that. Does it mean it's not a mitzvah? You're going to have to understand that the list of 613 mitzvahs is a unique and special list that has its rules and its regulations. But there are many more mitzvahs than that. I'm leaving you confused. That's good. Come back to Sunday next week. And we're going to pick up. Next week will be tshuva. Then I hope there'll be a week of tefillah and a week of stuff.
I just so.